continue to work on our hearts and minds, that you would cleanse us and refresh us. Lord, that you would strengthen us and comfort us. Father, there's just so many things we have going on in our lives, and I pray, please, that you would help us. This world is a mad place. There's so much going on. There's only one thing we can be sure of in this life, and that's you. You never change. Yesterday, today, forever, you're always the same. I pray that you would bless this time in your presence, that you would use it as a time of edification, and Lord, to just supply whatever it is that we need. And Father, we're thankful for answered prayers and bringing Frank and Andy safely to Northern Ireland, and pray that you would watch over them whilst they're here. We love you and praise you. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever there's preaching, praising, praying, teaching, Lord, fellowshipping. I pray, Father, that your presence would be felt. People would be edified. People would be fueled in faith and just directed in the right ways. We love you and praise you. We thank you for everything, Father. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We got a whole slew of Bible requests. So I'm actually going to put the glasses on that I use for reading so that I can see what's actually going on the page instead of trying to guess the words. That hasn't worked out so well in the recent past. We're going to take our big hymn books this evening, if you'd like to take and turn there. First of all, we're going to begin with 430, 430, "When Shepherds Watched Their Flocks." As tricky as the Hallelujah Chorus. Amen. 423. 423. Joy to the world. If you're fit, let's stand as we sing.
Thank you. Gospels to the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not. I teach of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That the woman learn in silence false objection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Amen.
Amen indeed. Just want to remind you again, please make sure that you have one of those little green prayer lists. I know there are lots of things going on in the world right now, and people have a lot on their plates, some of which we can do without, I'm sure, and some of which we enjoy doing. But please do take a moment, even if it's just once in the week. And I know we're down in numbers tonight with Christy and Taylor and Esther and Pat and Steve being away. But even with those of us that are here right now, even if one day in the week that you just went in prayer and called the names out and all the events and things that are there, even if you just say, Lord, I don't know what that's about, but it's in the prayer list, God listens to that prayer. If you did that once in a week, there's 2, 4, 6, 8 of us here, you would be prayed for at least once every day. And I like the thought of being prayed for. I need to be prayed for. Please do remember those. On top of the ones that are typed up, we would like to remind you too of Pearl Hetherington. I know Ling knows who Pearl is, the rest of you may not. It's a dear old friend of Monica. She's in her 80s and she's suffering from blood clots in her legs, isn't it? Not sure if it's because of the vaccinations that she had, or maybe just an age-based ailment, but please do pray for Pearl. And please do pray for Monica's sister Nina, who is in hospital with some sort of infection going on in her abdomen. Not sure exactly what it is, but we would appreciate your prayers. Please do also pray for David King, who was out with us on Wednesday evening. His daughter is having a difficult time. It is self-inflicted in years of bad life choices. Has put her in a bad situation. So please do pray that she start making right life choices, start getting saved and living right, and that will help her out a bit. Please do pray for Esther, for Christy's mother, Tina, same sort of situation there. Pray for Christy and Taylor too. We miss them. They're doing okay. They were asking after everybody and they're praying for us. I was going to say, can anybody be doing okay in the States right now? But they're doing okay. And they would appreciate your thoughts and your prayers. So don't forget them either. There's a lot going on in other parts of the world. Please do pray for America, Canada, Europe, Russia, China, Australia, New Zealand, Korea, North and South, Japan, Taiwan. There's a lot going on. Please do pray. You should never be stuck for something to pray about. The wickedness that is running riot in this world seems to have two faulty brake cables. and nothing seems to be stopping them, folks, at the moment. So please do remember those. If anybody has anything that they would like to add to those, now would be the time to stick your hand up. I have my pen in my hand and I'm ready to write it down.
Ukraine.
The Ukraine. What's going on in the Ukraine? Is this the...
Well, the Russian bullet on the borders.
I remember, even as I said it, I remember reading about it. Pray for the Ukraine at this time. Yes, I remember reading that Britain probably would not interfere with any Russian invasion in Ukraine. But bear in mind that our Prime Minister is a fornicator and an adulterer. He is a thief and a liar. Same with the tarnisher or whatever he is, Varadkar down south, practicing homosexual. We don't expect much sense coming from the people that were elected to lead this country. I think they were elected so that everybody else would feel better about themselves, not to actually do a decent job in our country. But that's neither here nor there. There'll be peace and there'll be justice whenever one man can sit on the big chair, knows what's right, can do anything, and has the power to make it stick. And that'll be when Jesus comes back. In the meantime, we have a few more days, weeks, months, and years of tricky times. But keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Never changes, even when everything else does. Amen. Anybody got anything to add? Yes, ma'am.
I think it's great for my barrister.
Your barrister?
Yes.
Which one? Here or
Stan? The one in Belfast. He's I've won my case, but he's dropped the ball about 2 feet from the goalmouth. And I'm just praying I would like to get everything sorted out as quickly as possible. So maybe. Well, won my case, and not every count. I just seem to be
forgotten about.
Forgotten about.
You shouldn't have paid him.
That's exactly it. Didn't have come.
Amen. Please do pray for Norman. Norman has legal difficulties with family members, well, step family members. Please do pray for the full resolution of a court case. Anything else? All good. I'll pray.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Ling, I didn't even see your hand up there. My apologies. Go ahead. When does it go?
New Year's Day. And you're away until the end of January week. We change flights from we should fly to Israel from Israel to France, but now we can't, so we change to fly from Dublin.
Okay. Right. Amen. We'll miss you. Hope you have a good trip.
Hopefully I can go.
And if not, Frank, you can speak French, can't you? And Pat?
Yeah.
You could always get up in the morning and go up to your mom and dad and say, Pouvez-vous, voudrez-vous un bowl of cornflakes, s'il vous plaît. Anyway, another French jokes. And if they ask you about fishing rights, Frank, say nothing. Okay, let's pray. Is anybody else anything to add to any of our, seriously, any of our prayer lists? I was watching that. It's like being at an auction. Sometimes you're always afraid. My nose has just got itchy, but if I put my hand up, the pastor's going to ask me what it is I have to pray about. Anyway, let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching over us. And thank you, Lord, for your patience, for our foolishness and our silliness, and, Lord, even our rank stupidity. I pray you, Lord, please, for all of the prayer requests, for Norman's legal case, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang's travel arrangements, for Andy, for Pat and Steve, Lord, we miss them this evening, and pray they get the feeling better soon. For Esther, I know she doesn't keep the best, and Tina, for Dave King's wee girl, Lord, for their life choices and situations. For Christy and Taylor, for Christine, Lord, for William and Rachel and Lillianne and Marianne, Lord, and all the things that each and every one of us has in front of us. Father, please take and use this time as, yes, a time of festivities, Lord, but a time of contemplation as well. I pray you please, Lord, that you would withstand devilment and wickedness in high places. That you would, Lord, that you would just throw a stick in the spokes of the devil at every turn. That you would frustrate the plans that people have to make merchandise of other people. That you would hinder all of those, Lord, that are intent on wickedness. No matter what the level, whether it's a country level, Lord, whether it's a personal level, please, Lord, I pray. And you know our private prayer requests too, and Lord, you know. I pray you, please, Lord, for your hand to work directly in those situations. And Father, if that means that we need to change our position, I pray you, Father, that you'd work in our hearts and minds too. Please bless us, Lord, as we take this time to set aside from work and the world and give you some consideration, Lord, and some credit for the time of year in which we find ourselves. If people start asking us what we're at and what we're doing, Lord, what better invitation to preach the gospel. Please save souls. Please, Lord, work in our personal events and global events, Lord. We know where everything's going in general. And Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for convicting us and for the good sense to accept your Son as Savior. Lord, for your word, for the freedom that we have to meet together tonight. Lord, for your generosity, for your charity towards us. Bless us the rest of this evening, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would find our praises and the preaching and teaching of your word and the fellowship afterwards, Lord, acceptable in your sight. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. We've got space for another song or two. Let's grab those hymn books again. 77 was a request in the wee black books. So let's take those and turn to number 77, Still the Night, Only the Night.
Bear and those who've been saved.
there's just something very instant about those Christmassy hymns. It's almost like a McDonald's, isn't it? You have one and then you think, I could have another one. 421, the first Noel, will stand as we sing the first Noel. Amen. Sing to on the way out, but if anybody has one that they want to sing by way of tune, I would entertain two.
We still
have that. Do we? Mm-hmm. Well, then we will entertain that one as well. What was the favourite?
79.
What is that one?
Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go Tell It on the Mountain. Right. If you want to take and turn to Book of Mark, chapter 2. Book of Mark, chapter 2. Coincidentally, it's in the It's in the notes and it's in the Bible. And we were, it's in the songs as well. We want to read this portion of God's Word to do with the wise men that came to visit the young child Jesus. So if you'd like to take and turn to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. I want to talk about, or spend a little bit of time on, the subject of no more sleeps. No more sleeps. The Word of God says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written, Excuse me, by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Excuse me. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Amen. We are going to, I think that was Hosea chapter 11. Anyway, we're going to take that as our text. We're going to refer to quite a few verses of scripture this evening. I want to speak on the subject of no more sleeps. No more sleeps, and a few other things as well. Well, if you would, brother, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this night, Lord. Thank you for your love, Lord, and that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. I remember this time of year, whenever he came into the world as a baby, Lord. And Lord, give us this day, Lord. Bless everything we do in your name, Lord. We do everything acceptable in your sight, Lord. Give us a problem, love the men trouble, Lord. Give them due mercy wherever they be tonight, Lord. And bring them to the appointed time, Lord. We offer them Frank and God shines to travel on the holidays, Lord. We offer them keep them safe and well, Lord. And Lord, and we also we have all the people on the staff who've got COVID-19, Lord. You might heal them, Lord, and save your souls and love from any trouble as well, Lord. Before we all give wisdom to world leaders, Lord, and save world leaders, Lord, that they may truly know thee as Father and God, Lord, and direct their paths, Lord, that may they live a peaceful life, Lord, and Lord, may thy word may be spread abroad, and thy gospel may be spread among those that are lost, Lord. Remember our organization, especially at this time, Lord, remember releasing the national open doors, Kitcher schools, releasing the national, Lord, Christian issue, Lord, give them bless their budget, give them what they need, Lord. We also remember the missionaries out in foreign fields, Lord, at this time, Lord. Make use the gospel stories and the preaching, Lord, to reach out to those that are lost, Lord, and for those that are lost to be saved and come to the realization of their sins, Lord. and put the burdens of Calvary and be saved and repent and be saved tonight, Lord. And for it to come in with, Lord. Bless Marcus, comes to preach, deliver him from any trouble, Lord. Give him clear mind, Lord. And give him the words to speak, Lord. And give him a touch of spirit, Lord, that he may touch us as well, Lord. And pray for us to go to new week, Lord. And as we come to Christmas, deliver us from any trouble, Lord. Us and our households, and provide for us and keep us with Jesus Christ again, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. More sleeps. Of course, you know that I am referring to the phrase, I think, that was probably driving a lot of very little children absolutely crazy about now when they ask their mummy and daddy every day, it's hard to tell them how many more weeks or days, it's how many sleeps, something that they can mark time by. How many sleeps is it until we wake up and there's toys for us by the Christmas tree? And they're all dying to hear, no more sleeps. There's no more sleeps. After this one, there's no more sleeps. It'll be Christmas Day. And this message has been on my mind for a little while. I just realized there that this, it'll be Wednesday will be our Christmas message. But I wanted to have a little bit of, in quotes, Christmas. And the reason why we actually celebrate Christmas properly, I hope, whereas the rest of the world is going crazy. And I got to thinking about the term no more sleeps and presents and gift giving and gift getting and one thing and another. And thought I would give you a few thoughts on it. This portion of God's word details the life of Jesus Christ at about 2 years old. If you want to read what happened at his birth, you read in the book of Luke. And the very early chapter or two of Luke will tell you, will bring you right up until the Lord was born. And the shepherds came in from the fields to, after seeing the angels out praising the Lord and telling everybody just what was happening, they were receiving the opportunity for peace between God and men. And then thought, this is wonderful. Let's go and see where it actually is. And so they go into the town and they find the Savior as a newborn and his mother and father. Stepfather, sorry, let me get that right. His mother and stepfather. And they just go around afterwards and tell everybody. It's not very often you see a choir of angels in the sky giving praise to God. And if you ever do, it's worth telling somebody about. So they do that. Now, this is the thing that always irks me about nativity scenes, sorry, is where you have baby Jesus in a manger, and you have Mary and Joseph around, and a couple of animals, a couple of shepherds, and then you have the wise men. That always irks me, because unless they're running a TARDIS, the wise men landed 2 years later. So 2 years later, the wise men land. And a lot has happened up until right now, and it's sort of summed up in verses 3 and 4, as we look here. The wise men land in Jerusalem, and it says Herod was troubled, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. And I think that probably was because when Herod got troubled, he made sure to spread it around. This Herod was going to make sure there were no pretenders to the throne. I'm not sure if it was this same one that killed his own children so that they couldn't inherit the throne from him whenever he died. So there was a lot going on. Excuse me. Sometimes happens after enjoying the singing too much. The reason I have no more sleeps is because, well, you know what? We're going to have to go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, way back in the Old Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, and I want to read just a little bit from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 20. This was originally supposed to be the text. So we've got the wise men. And they're about 550, give or take, years away from Daniel chapter 9 here. From Daniel in chapter 9. And I want to give you this revelation that was given to Daniel by the Lord to one of his angels, Gabriel. And let's read it. This is Daniel saying in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication, my pleading before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yet whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, that's Gabriel the archangel referred to as a man, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks, that is 70 weeks of years, which is 490 years, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. That's the bit we're interested in. And to make reconciliation for iniquity, that as well. And to bring in everlasting righteousness, I want that too. And to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Yep, we're looking, folks, we're definitely looking for the Messiah. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 80 weeks and 2 weeks. In other words, 60. What, where are we? 69 weeks. Sorry. Hold on a second. 69 weeks of years. In other words, 483 years. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after the 82 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, that's the Romans. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And this is talking about the 1 week of tribulation that is yet to come. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week for 7 years, and in the midst he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That's still to come. We're speaking about the 483 years that the wise men in Herod's day knew of, and even Herod's advisors knew of. But the wise men took it to heart and realized that there were no more sleeps until the Messiah was about to be born. And so they came to visit him whenever he was a little baby. Well, a young child. And they thought, we'll go and visit the child whenever he enters into the world. There are no more sleeps. There is no more time to be waiting. There's no more time to be resting on our lees. Let's go. And so the wise men go. And they meet him as a 2-year-old child. And they give gifts to the Savior. They arrive in the city of the great king, the city of David, Bethlehem. And they arrive about 450 years, give or take, after the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, after Nehemiah. Nehemiah got permission from King Artaxerxes, the king of the Medes and the Persians, to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And God said, and just hit the button on the stopwatch and said, the clock's starting. 483 years from this time, the Messiah will ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, hailed as king one day, hailed as Messiah, and hung on a cross like a thief and a murderer the next. So there was no more sleeps. It was time to go. It was time to bring all of your private army with you, to make sure you didn't get robbed on the way, because they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. The gold was Christ the King. The frankincense was for Christ the High Priest. And the myrrh was for Christ the sacrifice. to anoint his body with the spices. And I got to thinking as well about the excitement that many little children express, and even adults. There's always a little bit of leftover excitement at Christmas time, because it's well drilled into us when we're little. And I am sure these wise men were very excited to find this little child just exactly the way it was revealed to them, and exactly the place that God said he would be. I think it said something to the effect of going to the place where the star waited over. That was the shepherds. They only missed his birth by 2 years. They missed the purge that Herod committed in Bethlehem, killing all the little children, all those that were a threat. Thankfully they missed that. They scarpered, and Herod, whenever he saw that he was mocked and took a hand of, he killed all the little children. In accordance with prophecy, Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt. And then as they were coming back, they took a side road into Nazareth so that he would be called a Nazarene. Not a Nazarite. The Nazarites are the ones with long hair. A Nazarene is someone that lives in Nazareth. It's a bit like someone from Venice and someone from... Does that make them a Venusian or something? Is that someone from Venus? But anyway, it's neither here nor there. They gave the Lord gifts, and a lot of people take that as an example. When Jesus was born, people gave gifts, but they didn't. When Jesus was born, it was probably the poorest of people. It was the shepherds who literally didn't have very much money on them. It was them that came and worshipped and thanked the Lord that they were accounted worthy to go and visit the Lord. It was the wise men 2 years later that gave gifts. And they didn't give gifts to each other. They gave gifts to God. So when the Lord came, God was giving us a gift. And then whenever the wise men came, that was like men giving God a gift. And I want for you to remember that. It's not a mad dash to placate all of the people that have done you a good deed or helped you out during the year. It's not a mad dash to do that. I'm going to share with you another time in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Another big party time where people ran back and forth like mad things, buying gifts for each other. Because as we go from like thousands of years ago to a few years in the future, just towards the end of the tribulation and great tribulation, there's two men stand up and they start preaching the gospel. And they don't cut any corners. And they don't take the fat off of the milk. It's full cream milk. It's full council gospel. And they start preaching and they start telling everybody like it is, in the middle of a time where people just do whatever it is that they like. They could be killing people, they could be hurting children, they could be lying, cheating and stealing, and they're allowed to do whatever they like. And you might think, oh, that sounds awful. But I want for you to know right now that pretty much in most democratic run states in America, thieves can walk into a store, and as long as they take less than $1,000 worth of merchandise, it's not even worth their while being arrested. They will not be put in jail. And that is just the thin end of the wedge. Anyway, these men, these two witnesses for the Lord, they stand up and start preaching. People try to kill them. I don't know how this is going to happen, but the Bible says as people try to kill them, they will kill those people. And so many that lift their hand against them find that they have God's hand lifted back at them again. And many people die. And the people are terrified, and the people are convicted, And the people are only happy whenever the Antichrist rises up and strikes the two of them stone dead. And do you know what the people do then? They run back and forwards, saying to each other, thank goodness those two troublemakers have shut up, have a present. And so they go looking for gifts to buy and give to each other, just to blot out the thought of the preaching of the cross, just to try and forget the fact that they are guilty in the sight of a holy God. And they give presents to each other. They are so glad. They will spend their money making themselves feel better, giving presents to each other. That's really the only time I can find people running mad giving gifts to each other. And everything's hunky-dory until the voice of God is heard and the two witnesses stand up on their feet and are lifted up into heaven. And then people have something to think about. As we were speaking about things a little bit further removed from Christmas, I was sharing with Colin that there are no more sleeps until the Lord comes back. You know all the things that's in the Bible that the Lord said to look out for. It says when you see Israel being made into a nation again, the generation that sees this happen will not pass until Christ comes back. Israel was made a nation 75 years ago. My dad was a teenager whenever he heard about it, experienced it, not in Israel, but in Dublin at the time, I think it was. And he's still kicking, and I hope he does kick on for another 10 years or so. That's what he said. I want my letter from the Queen, and then I'll be happy. So I'm going to have to wait until I'm 70 for my inheritance at the very, very least. Anyway, he said to, the Lord said, there's one sleep. Look out for Israel being made a nation again. And the circumstances in which it happened, in very troubled times. He also said, look out for wars and rumors of wars. There's another sleep. He went on to say, look out for pestilences and famines and earthquakes in diverse places. There's another sleep. He went on to say as well in Matthew 24 that whenever the Lord does come back, every eye will see him. And that can only be in place with a global communications network. There's another sleep. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the image of the beast being given life. And goodness, we're walking around with computers that I nearly would have given my right arm for 30 years ago to have, that can give an image life. There's another sleep. We live in the days when they can quite literally kill every single person on the face of the earth. This is a very Christmassy message, I'm sure you'll agree. And that was written of 2,000 years ago when the biggest weapon they had, I'm sure, was a bow and arrow or a ballista or something like that. And no one could have countenanced the killing of all life on the face of the earth. But we can do that now. There's another sleep. But the state of man, being all full of themselves and it's all about me, there's another sleep. For the state of men standing behind the pulpit who are traitors, guys that are doing my job are not doing the job that they should be doing, preaching the gospel, encouraging the brethren to live right, and warning the lost of sin and judgment to come. They're not doing that. They are quite literally traitors to the cause. And it mentions that in 2 Timothy 3. There's another sleep. How many sleeps are there before the time comes? Well, there's a few others that are in there that we're not going to take time to speak on this evening because it could turn into a message about prophecy. But to be quite honest and truthful with you, I can't find one more that is to take place before the Lord comes back. There are quite literally no more sleeps. There's no more things to look for. There's no more prophecy to be fulfilled, except for one, where the Lord said, "No man knoweth the hour except my Father which is in heaven." And at a time when you think not, it'll all start, it'll all kick off. That's what the Lord said. He didn't say it'll all kick off, but he said something similar to that in older English in the Bible. So the thing about it is, I'm a little bit excited for Christmas. I'm a little bit excited. I'm excited for it to be Christmas, to light the fire, to have a bit of turkey dinner, to kick back for a couple of days and know that the rest of the world is, at least for a moment or two, stopping to consider, I would pray, my Saviour and their Saviour. That would give a moment's thought for the reason as to why just about every single shop in the Western world is closed. It's not because the shopkeepers' shelves are empty and they're waiting for more stuff to get in, although some of them might actually think that. The reason the Western world stops on Easter Sunday and Christmas Day is really supposed to be in honour of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. These are the times, albeit Christianized pagan dates, but these are the times that we have chosen to take a time aside from the world and to think about the great sacrifice that was given for us and to think about the great gift that was given for us too. The sacrifice that was made for us and the gift that was given for us. And we should be looking forward to that. Looking forward to Christmas. I know there's children are driving their moms and dads crazy. Is it tonight? Is it this Saturday? Is it this Friday? No, there's six more sleeps. Friends, as far as our Christian lives go, as far as Christian history goes, there are literally no more sleeps. And Christians should be getting excited with all of the things that are going on in the world. Not glad that people are dying, but excited to see what the Lord is going to do and when he's coming back. And we should be being Christians. Preaching the gospel. Living right. Behaving right. Pointing people to the foot of the cross. Because there's going to be interesting times ahead. And a lot of people are going to wish they were with you in heaven whenever the trumpet sounds and whenever in the blink of an eye we are caught up together to be with the Lord in the air forever and ever. So from going from the birth of Jesus, from the 500 years or so before that, right the way through until tomorrow or the day after, I just want for you to know, Christian, you can be joyful and you can be secure in the Word of God and His promises to you. And you don't have to wait for Christmas for God's promises to be made available to you. You turn up at the foot of the cross. You turn up on your hands and knees in prayer. You turn up at the Word of God and God will be there to bless you and to keep and to make good in His promises to you. Stopping there, that'll give us time to sing another song or two. And thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. What did you say we had, number 77, was that?
75.
Let's turn to 75 in the wee books. Yep, I have it here. Go tell it on. There we go. Well, stand as we sing, number 75. Go tell it. Is this the one I have to put into this verse this morning?
No.
Four verses. Amen. And number 75.
Jesus Christ is
verse number 3 with Samuel. Used to sing that, and he was just a seeker, and he snot both night and day. Because he couldn't read, he just remembered it, he memorized the verse, and he sang it for everybody, and that always brings a smile to my face when I hear that. Amen. Thank you all for your indulgence this evening, for your time and attention.